USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show, War Now, airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
Thousands of people hit the streets of New York on Monday night to conduct the annual homeless outreach population estimate. Volunteers went block by block around the five boroughs looking for people who were living on the streets. They also canvassed subways, parks, and other public spaces. Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson joins Fox News and was asked about what we can do to help fix this homeless crisis in America.
Well, I think the key thing we do is we ask ourselves, why is this a problem in our country? You know, you look at Japan, you look at Tokyo, they have virtually no homelessness there. And what is the difference? They don't have stacks and stacks of regulations that keep you from being able to use technology. We have some very innovative people in our country who've come up with modular homes, tremendous advances in manufactured housing, tiny homes. There are a whole host of things that could be used. You know, think of yourself as a millennial or a young person maybe coming out of college and, you know, getting your first job for $50,000 a year. You can't afford anything here. Mm-hmm. Forget about it.
The U.S. Geological Survey is reporting a magnitude 7.7 earthquake struck off the coast of Jamaica. The agency says the epicenter is about 73 miles northwest of the coastal town of Lucia. It was felt at the U.S. base in Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hey, it's Joe Peters sitting here today with Michelle Heide. Michelle, say hello.
Michelle Cresty?
Cresty. What am I calling you, Heidi?
Heidi,
for?
Which is also a compliment.
Yeah.
Two
of the nicest people I know named Michelle.
Thank you, John.
So we're going to be back in a few minutes, but first let me get to a lead into the weather, and I'll give everybody the weather for you.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
So it's Joe Peters, and today is Tuesday the 28th. We're sitting in scenic downtown Flemington. It's a little bit after 4 o'clock, and it's the 28th of 2020, if somebody's listening to an old show. Today's weather is sort of, I was able to walk yesterday. I like to walk for about an hour. I read books on tape while I walk, and today was like, it's too raw to go out there today. So I avoided it. I'm looking at the next few days, and here's what it looks like. It looks like what we've got coming up is going to be on, it doesn't have Wednesday. There's Wednesday, 41 degrees, a little bit of sun. Thursday's going to be 41 degrees, a lot of sun. Friday, 37, a little cooler. But the good news is staying up in the 40s during the day for the rest of the week. And then it's dropping down just below freezing each night. As a matter of fact, Wednesday night's going to be around 19, and Thursday night around 21. So cold, it's seasonal, but I don't see any white stuff. So that's good news. So let me play a few more of our paid commercials, and I'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Hey, it's Joe back. Joe Peters back with Michelle Christie, and I apologize for calling her Michelle Heidi, who's been on with me in the past as well. Michelle is an attorney in Clinton in a business with her husband. And why don't you go backwards and come forward and tell me where you grew up, where you went to school, your family life?
Sure. Thanks for having me, Joe. So, so I was born in or grew up in North Brunswick in Middlesex County, New Jersey. I went to Rutgers College and then for undergraduate. Then I went to Villanova. We then moved here to Hunterdon County about 20 years ago. I live in, with my husband and practice law with my husband, John Macy, as well. We have 3 children that we've raised here in Hunterdon County. John, who's 20, Alexandra, who is 18, a senior in high school, and Jake, who is in the 8th grade at Clinton Township Middle School.
So great. And your business is almost across from the post office in downtown Clinton, if I remember. Did a closing there a few years ago with you.
Yep. So we're very lucky to have an office right in the center of Clinton. We love it. It's right in the middle of town, and we get to see a lot of our colleagues, other attorneys, other professionals in town. We really enjoy being there.
Neat. So it's Christy and Macy is the name of the firm? How do you spell Macy?
Macy and Christy. Macy is M-A-C-C-E.
Okay.
And Christy, C-R-E-S-T-I.
How did his name get first? Was he in a business first?
He started the practice first.
Okay. That's very interesting. I don't think I know many husband-wife attorneys. I do. You may know her. It's a woman who's been on the show with me from Branchburg area, named Ann Buckley Johnson. And Ann does nothing but, she was doing real estate closings, which is where I met her, but she now does nothing but benefits for veterans. So if you've been turned down, she picks it up at that point in time. She'll go all the way back to the Second World War if they're still kicking around.
That's a very good practice. That's an important practice. That's
and great. Her husband, who was an attorney in New York, joined her in the business and became so lucrative, and they're doing really well. So it's neat. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a unique business. So what is your business specialize in?
So what our office does is, and I just have to tell you, look, a quick aside about husband and wife lawyer team. So our building was once owned by Novak and Novak, Joe and Judy Novak,
okay,
who are also two husband and wife attorneys, and they practiced out of the same place where we are now. So
we now have
their space.
Neat. So hey, and what's the phone number for you if somebody wanted to call you after this show? How would they get in touch?
Sure,
with
they
you?
Thank you. 908-713-9008.
Okay, and we'll repeat that a couple of times through the show.
Thank
so
you.
If you don't have a pencil in front of you, get one for the next time. So your practice, I know I do real estate with you. Do you do criminal and civil? Or?
Yes, yeah, so I do some civil work, so some criminal work as well. So I'm actually a public defender in the joint court, Bethlehem and Glen Gardner and Lebanon Borough out here in Hunterdon County. So I do some criminal municipal court defense as well with our other work.
And what about your husband's side of the work?
My husband does primarily all litigation, different forms of litigation. He's a certified civil trial lawyer. So what that means is he's demonstrated to the Supreme Court of New Jersey that he has a specialty in trial work and in civil trial work. So that's what he does, almost all litigation.
Well, it's neat. We have a lot of attorneys in the small town of Clinton, and I probably have met with most of them, not a lot on the show, but different people do the same thing different ways. And I try to keep, if I've got a very, a woman coming through a divorce, I like to pair her up with a woman attorney. There's some men attorneys that would be more like going back into the divorce with her. So I probably deal with, because I'm spread now, my office is in Warren Watchung. I live in Clinton. I do everything in between. But if you think about it, the business in both counties runs right down 78. It's Clinton Township, Reddington, Raritan. Four of those mayors have been on sitting right where you're sitting in the last 6 weeks. And then I do Branchburg, Bridgewater, get a little down into Hillsborough, that it's not a focus, and then Warren and Watchung. So why do I do that? That's where most of the business in those two counties takes place, and it's also the place where I live and have established my business. So as a real estate agent, half of your business usually comes out of your prior business. So if you're not doing that, and the last 10 years have been tough because a lot of people were bankrupt, couldn't sell the house, lost the house. But now I'm starting to get phone calls from people I haven't talked to in 3 or 4 years that I've just kept them on my mailing list, kept them on my newsletter list. They're saying, hey, it's time to do something. So I find real estate to be at a really nice time, because I think we finally have some inventory to sell above 500,000. And as people move up into it or sideways into it, it's freeing up some other inventory for the first-time buyers. Our real critical shortage is below 400,000 in Hunterdon. In Somerset, we get 20% more, so it's below 500 over there. But the reason for our talk is I heard you give a talk on auto insurance. And I said to myself, my God, somebody finally can explain this to me. Every year, my better half, Marilyn, used to work for the state of New Jersey, and she is NJM. And she gets this NJM questionnaire, and the first thing she does is she gives it to me. And I say, I don't know this any better than you, but I'm a more paper-oriented person or financially oriented. And then I have State Farm, and I cannot get New Jersey manufacturers, so I've been with State Farm for about 20 years, and a woman right across the street from me, you may know her, Maria Bate,
okay,
is with State Farm here. She is my agent. She really Anyway, she represents me within State Farm. So it's sort of nice because I can call her up if I had a question. Like, we were going into Canada. And I said, can I ride into Canada or should I buy insurance? She said, no, you could go into Canada. It was X amount of days before you would not be insured anymore. So those are the kind of things that are nice to know as you go along. I mean, every time you go to a car rental counter, they want you to buy insurance because they make more money off of that than they do off the car.
Sure.
But with my insurance, I don't need car rental insurance. And as a matter of fact, we had a little scrape, $800 scrape up in Vancouver, British Vancouver in Canada, and it was just one of those tight parking garages, and I backed in and just scraped a little quarter panel, and I called her. So what should I do? She said, where it happened, go see if you can get an estimate so we can say for local prices this is what it is. And I did, and the estimate was $1,300. So when I took it back to Sixt, S-I-X-T, if anybody hasn't tried that company, they're great. It's a German company. Their fares are cheaper than Gold, every other thing, because I traveled 100% for 7 years. I'm Gold with, they're half the price, and they're just as good. And Six said, oh, you have some body damage. And I said, yep, and I got an estimate. She said, don't need to show it to us. We're going to go by ourselves. And they got an estimate. We had an estimate of $1,300, I think. Their estimate came back at $8. So we felt confident that I wouldn't get robbed.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. So, but when we get this questionnaire, there's a whole bunch of questions I don't know where to start with. I mean, right off the bat, they said, well, how much liability do you want? Now, on Maryland's, and I think this may be, this questions may be standard for the state, that it's the same question on all the policies. So I'm just going to go through the NJM one. It says, how much liability coverage do you want, 100, 300, or 500? Can you get more than that if you want it?
Yeah, okay, so let me just take a step back. So the questions, we'll go through the questions and I'll give you some answers. But just by a little disclaimer, of course, you know us lawyers, we always have to have little footnotes and caveats. So any of the advice that I'm going to give you or any of the answers I'm giving you is really not advice. It's rather, these are observations that I've made and just knowledge that I've accumulated over the course of my career. So what I'm going to say to you is, like I would say to anybody, if you have a particular question about your particular situation, you should seek out advice from a trusted advisor pertinent to you, meaning see your lawyer, see your insurance agent, anything like that. So what I'm giving to you today isn't necessarily legal advice, but rather my knowledge of what those questions mean and, just some background so that when you go to ask the questions, you have some knowledge about it.
Okay. I think that's fair. I think it's fair. And I do the same thing with real estate. When people say, well, how does this tax situation work? I say, I can tell you my understanding, but I cannot give you tax advice.
100%. That's so what I'll give you. I can tell you my understanding, and then anybody that is listening to this, then they could take that and they feel free to call me at my office or call up their insurance or other professional to ask the question. So what's the first one? Liability insurance?
Yeah, liability. It says you got three options, 100, 300, and 500.
Okay, so the important part with that question is to understand the different types of insurance that you have in your auto policy. There are two different types of insurance you have. You have what's called first-party coverage and third-party coverage. First-party coverage is insurance that covers you, the insurance that covers Joe or Marilyn, the person who owns the coverage, the first party, the person, the insured on that policy.
Okay.
Third-party coverage is what covers third persons or other people who may want to know that you have insurance coverage. So liability insurance generally goes to a third person. That's third party coverage. So that what that coverage is looking to do is to cover you in the case that you get into a car accident that's your fault. And then the third person has property damage or personal injury damages, they can look to this NJM policy for coverage. So you ask me, why do I care? Well, then I'll get the cheapest if that's for other people. And I get a lot of people that will say to me, especially for young people, if they have limited means and they're looking to stretch their dollars. So they're saying, well, why do I care what somebody else can get off of my policy? And I'll tell you why. Because number one, your policy of insurance covers you and your assets. And if there's a bad enough accident, you can be sure someone is going to look to see how many dollars they can get from you. And, you know, if there's an unfortunately bad accident, what you really want is all the dollars to come out of your insurance company, because that's what you are paying for. You're paying for coverage. You're paying for protection. You don't want someone to now own your home, your, you know, your house or any of your other assets. You want it to come out of your insurance policy. What I would say is you're going to look to maximize that coverage, that liability coverage, as high as you can, to at least the 500. Now, another important caveat to that, and we talked a lot about third-party coverage, the coverage that you pick there in that section correlates to your first-party coverage. We're going to look down later, and in the policy, you're going to have something that's called underinsured or uninsured, UM or UIM coverage. What that covers is, in the case that Joe Peters is struck by somebody, God forbid, or Marilyn Peters is struck by somebody, and that somebody doesn't have insurance or doesn't have enough insurance, you, by benefit of this policy that you have purchased, can now look to NJM for coverage. So if you are injured and the person who hit you does not have enough insurance coverage for you, you can go to your own policy and say, I have been injured, please compensate me and take the shoes of that person that hit you. But you cannot get more coverage for yourself than what you are offering for other people.
Okay.
So some people will say to me, well, I'll get the 100 or even lower for other people, but I want the 500 for myself. And the law doesn't allow you to do that.
That's interesting.
You have to get the same or more for the third persons. So if you want to cover you and yours, you want to maximize that liability portion.
And in today's litigious society, it sounds like $500,000 isn't a lot of money.
It depends. There's a lot of breaks on lawsuits, so you'd be surprised. A lot of, like, the old lawsuits where you hear someone say, well, you know, I went to the chiropractor, or as a friend of mine likes to call it, Dr. Summeroff. yeah. So, you know, you can go to the chiropractor, you get some treatments, and, you know, you settle it up and get a few dollars. New Jersey has put a lot of breaks on those sort of smaller lawsuits. So a lot of the lawsuits that we are seeing, you know, can be big, higher stakes, more serious claims. Not that every claim is so serious, but you do want that coverage. This coverage is there for when something bad has happened.
Got it. So we talked about first and third. Is there a second party?
No, and I don't know.
Okay, so that's just terminology. Analytical.
Yep.
I would think then a first-time driver would probably opt for the lower amount because there's very little they could be sued for, and they probably don't have the funds. But I also think that the $300,000 or $500,000 is not incrementally five times as much.
Correct.
So it's I think, something you need to discuss with your individual agent and with your family attorney, maybe, as to how much you should carry. But I know I, for one, as a real estate agent, have to have $300,000 on a car because I have other people in it with me. And I always take the most amount, but...
Yeah, so and I hear that very often, especially so now as my children's friends are starting to drive and they're all young and, you know, who's getting their first car and maybe they have to buy their own insurance. Like, well, you know, I don't have anything, so who cares? You know, sue me, so what? Well, guess what? If there is a judgment against you, and I've seen this, if there is a judgment against you and your insurance company can only pay $15,000 because that's all the coverage you have, you know, or 100 or whatever it is, that judgment can stay against you. And it can stay against you for at least 20 years.
Wow.
So that, you know, so maybe you're not making a lot of money now because you're just, you know, like you said, a young person, you're just starting out, you're, you know, have your first job, you're not making a lot of money. But if you get a judgment against you, your wages can be garnished. There can be kind of very onerous steps that could be taken against you. So
that's interesting. I didn't realize they could garnish your money off an auto.
If there's a judgment, I mean, if there's a judgment against you, it can happen. The other part of it is, if you are if you do cause damage and another insurance company has to pay for you, in other words, somebody goes to their UIM carrier, what have you, I've seen now cases where the insurance companies for the UIM carrier will now go after the tortfeasor or the person who caused the damage. They will look to get their money back.
Okay, so this is an important consideration. You have assets. I know for example, we sold our great big house 10 years ago and okay. We downsized into a townhouse, and we were carrying like multiple hundreds of thousand insurance on the contents of the house, just to use this as an extrapolation, and we added up what was in the house one day and said, we don't need that much insurance. There's not that much in here.
Okay.
So the less insurance you have, the less you're going to pay, but the more assets you have, the more insurance you need.
Yeah.
It's something that you probably need consultation with your own
correct
agent and maybe with your own attorney to decide what the right level is. I always take as much as I can because I have a good driving record and insurance is not that expensive. But if the opposite right is true, then the opposite is
that's
also true.
Right. So along with the assets, you also have to think about what could happen to you in the future and what you're covering. And don't forget, you're covering yourself.
Right.
If you want appropriate. Go ahead.
So it looks like the second part is PIP, personal. So explain what that is. We now know what liability is. That's
yep
if you get sued and you pay the third party.
Yep.
PIP.
PIP, or Personal Injury Protection Benefits, PIP, or otherwise known as PIP. PIP, it's an acronym for Personal Injury Protection Benefits. What that covers is for medical coverage and other coverages if you are injured in a car accident. So this is where we were talking about. This is a first-party coverage.
Okay.
So this is where if, again, keep putting Joe and Marilyn in harm's way, but if Joe and Marilyn are injured in a car accident, they will go to their own policy for medical, we'll use it the easy one, for medical expenses. Some other PIP benefits include lost wages, God forbid, funeral expenses. I mean, there's a few other things in there, but we'll just keep it easy. We'll just keep mm-hmm it the medical expenses. So if you're in a car accident, you go to the emergency room, then you go for other treatment, your care will be covered by your PIP policy. So that's what that is.
So it looks like that has two levels, $1 million and $250 on this one. Then there's a whole bunch of caveats that you could save 3% if you went to $150. But prior to March 22nd, 2009, real estate insurance policies have PIP medical benefits limits of at least $250. So apparently you can go under $250 on PIP.
So New Jersey, okay, for a very long time, in New Jersey, $250,000 was the amount of PIP coverage across the board for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a very high amount. Other states did not require that high amount. But that is $250,000 of PIP benefits is the standard in New Jersey. It still is. It is not required. Now you can actually get more. You can get less. The issue with that is, and there are ways to reduce it, and people look at it, and a good way to reduce it, or a way that people look at it is, oh, I can get this health insurance optional. So in other words, you could say, I don't want NJM to cover me. I have very good health insurance. I'm going to save a few dollars, and I'm going to take health insurance. Now, this is where that becomes a problem. If you are in a car accident and you are injured, and they're going to pay your medical bills, it's fine. If you eventually get money from your lawsuit for your damages, say you think, well, say a ridiculous number, you were going to settle your case for $100, okay? But just let's say your medical expenses were $100, or if your PIP paid those medical bills, you don't owe a dollar back. That's it. You got that coverage. You pay it. It covered your bills. The only thing that you have to pay as a part of that is your copay and deductible.
Okay.
And we can talk about what that is. It's a minimal amount. It's no more than about $1,200. Okay. But if you take your health insurance option, say, I'm not going to pay for that PIP. That insurance company, they're trying to get me. They're trying to get money from me that I don't need to pay. Well, the problem is, under certain circumstances, if your health insurance pays, not every circumstance, but under certain circumstances, you will have to pay back the health insurance company from any money that you get from that car accident. So if you settled your lawsuit for $100, but they paid out $75 in medical expenses, this is your health insurance company, you may have to pay a big portion of that back.
Right.
So that $100,000 that you thought you were going to get after, you know, with costs and fees and things like that, maybe get $70 in your pocket, you might not get that because you have to pay the health insurance back.
So the argument could be it's going to cost me extra to have the ability to keep that money versus as long as the bills are paid and the medical, I've saved some money and my bills are paid. What happens if the bills don't get paid? I mean, is at any point you have to pay that back if you use your own medical?
What do you mean?
So, okay, so instead of taking this PIP,
yeah,
I take my own medical insurance, okay, and let's say I rack up $50,000 because of the accident,
right,
and I don't get paid. Do I owe anybody that $50,000?
Probably not. Okay. If you don't, if you never get any money from a lawsuit or anything,
right,
like that, probably not.
But if you do get it, it's going to go towards that. Some of that is going to go.
Yes, under certain circumstances. Not every health insurance policy needs to get their money back. It just mm-hmm. depends. But who the heck would ever want to be in that situation of having to pay them back?
Okay. So under this, it has two questions. I choose for the auto insurance primary option, or I choose for the health insurance. And because of the auto insurance, you have some health insurer information that you got to give them if you choose that. So they've got to make sure you have that insurance, I guess.
Right. And then they have to, if you pick the health insurance optional, there's requirements that you submit your health and proof of health insurance. And then you also have to prove or show that your health insurance company is willing to be health insurance optional or will offer that. So that those are kind of a two-step thing. But again, with, even if you do satisfy those two requirements that health insurance is willing to be health insurance primary, just you have to take that under the with the caveat that you may have to pay that money back.
And it looks like the PIP non-medical benefits have a whole bunch of. There's a whole chart here about them. What is that all about?
So the different chart, may I see that? So the chart, I think this probably has to do with lost wages. Every policy is a little bit different. Right, so this is option one and different benefits. So you just would look at that. That's going to be pertinent to each policy as to death benefits, funeral expenses, things like that. So income continuation, again, you would look at your particular policy and decide what you wanted there.
Okay. So good. I think that probably covers PIP. The next thing on my list, which may not be the next on yours, so if you'd like to change direction, we can, is uninsured motors.
So, yeah, so we started to talk about this a little bit. So this, again, is very similar to what the liability insurance is, but this is uninsured, underinsured. This is another first-party benefit. This is what covers you and yours in the case that you're in a car accident with somebody who is uninsured at all, has no auto insurance, or is minimally insured. So, the rules in New Jersey require that everybody have auto insurance. You're not allowed to put, well, if you own a car, you're not allowed to put a car on the road in New Jersey unless it has current auto insurance.
Okay.
So, but of course, for every rule, there's always somebody that's willing to break it. Or sometimes it's by, they don't even intend to break it, but their policy lapses for whatever reason. There could be a host of reasons why it lapses, but for whatever reason, that person is uninsured. If you are hit by that person and damaged, this uninsured, underinsured motorist coverage will cover you and cover your injuries and damages. So it's really to protect you and yours. Another important thing to consider is, now, even though the rules in New Jersey require everybody to have insurance, the minimal policy in New Jersey used to be $15,000.
Remember that?
Yeah, right. That was the old minimum. That has now changed, and there's other policies that are out there, and there's a lot of different policies that we could talk about. There's what's called a basic policy, which is considered insurance, but it doesn't provide I think it's the basic policy, doesn't provide coverage if you hit somebody. So it's really just if you, it just really only covers you if you have to go to the emergency room or
so
something.
So you can have basic insurance in New Jersey without having any insurance that would be liability against you.
Correct.
Or a third party. Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Yes, and it's available to certain people. There's another policy called Dollar a Day that provides even less coverage. There's a lot of like very minimal policies that.
What do you have to give me one example of who would qualify for that?
It's on needs based, and it has to do with what it has to do with income and things like that. My understanding, but I don't know all the legislative history to it. But my understanding of some of these policies were that people were complaining to say that, you know, a lot of working poor and things like that. It's very expensive to keep a car, let alone insurance.
Right.
But in order to work or take care of their children, take care of their families, insurance was becoming an onerous expense. So this legislation was put into effect in order to make it more economically feasible for people.
And as a result of that, you need uninsured or underinsured.
Correct.
And the other thing I can think is an example of somebody from Pennsylvania can hit you, and they have totally different rules. They may be better or worse, but they're different.
Now you bring up a whole other issue, whole other thing. So, yes, generally speaking, yes. So the reason why you want uninsured, underinsured is to cover yourself and the people and your family.
Right.
So again, you want to maximize this, of course. Like if we ask anybody, who do I want to protect the most? I want to protect me and mine, right? That's who you want to protect the most.
Right.
And that's where this correlates with that liability coverage, because you want to make sure that you are providing the most coverage that you possibly can to your family. Like, it's very sad, and this happens sometimes when somebody gets into a car accident, they get hit by somebody and they have pretty serious injuries, and then the person who hit them has $15,000 of coverage. Okay, well, then they say, well, I was very seriously injured and I should get more money than that. So then you look and you say, well, let's look at your policy. Let's see what you have. Oh, you only have $15,000. Well, guess what? You're out of luck. You don't get anything.
Right.
But if you had more coverage, oh, well, now you would get the difference between $15,000 and your ceiling now is whatever coverage you had. So now you just made the pool or pot of money a lot bigger for yourself.
So you're actually paying for insurance that other people aren't paying for in this instance. It's optional.
Yep.
But you're paying for it if you want to be safe.
Yes, correct. It's a good way to put it. Because you can actually make that third-party coverage. So if you're worried about getting sued, you're worried about your assets, you're worried about somebody taking from you,
right,
you could maximize that coverage. But you can actually have, you know, you could have your UM/UIM could even be less. So you don't want that to happen. You want them to be the same, and you want to maximize that as much as possible.
Good. So I'm going to let you lead at this point. The next, I guess, is collision on my list. Is that the next logical one to talk
sure,
about?
Sure, the collision.
And there's always a deductible of collision. I guess you could have it non-deductible and it's even more money, but I know I carry a $500. So if I get into an accident, I got to put up the first $500, even if it's just me hitting a rock with my car to get it fixed.
So that's damage to your car. So, right, you know, you'll hear people say, like, well, I don't, my car's so old, you know, I'm not going to get collision coverage,
right,
something like that. So that's up to you. That's, you know, that's who's going to pay for your car if it gets, you know, if your car gets injured.
Right.
And that's a little bit of a financial decision, and maybe you correlate that. An important thing, so that's what that covers, and that's right. So a way to save money, and a good way, you know, a way to save money is on your deductible, because that's where you're buying your risk. So if you say, you know, if I hit a rock and I cause some damage to my undercarriage or my tire, you know, I bend my tire or something like that, the rim. So I'm not going to go and put that through insurance. I'm just going to pay for that.
Right.
So you decide what risk you want. So that's where you can increase your deductible, and that will, of course, lower your premium, because you say, you know, I'll pay the first $500 or $1,000 or, you know, whatever the deductibles are that are offered to you.
Okay, so I take what I feel is reasonable, because if you see a person driving along with a big dent in their car, they probably don't have the insurance to cover it, or that the first 500 they have to put up, even if it's a $15 dent, and the car still runs. But as you said, if it's a rim or if it's an undercarriage, you may have to get it fixed because the car isn't going to work. This is an area that you can save a little money on by the way you pick your deductible.
Correct.
Then there is on collision, and you could have several vehicles, so each vehicle has a separate collision policy on it. So for instance, I own a sports car and I own my work car, and my sports car sits in the garage and I use it probably 3,000 miles a year, and it's still not a QQ where I can get the cheaper insurance on it yet. I pay full insurance on that car because it's a valuable car, and I did have an accident where somebody else hit me and they did pay for it, but in effect, if it had a dent, I'd be very disturbed.
And that would probably be a very expensive debt to fix, because if it's not quite historic, it's almost historic, so that those parts are expensive and difficult to find, and you have to decide how much you want to invest in that car if it gets damaged. So 500, it's probably going to be very easy to get to 500, right? On a car like that, probably just to find the parts won't cost $500, let alone buy them.
That's for sure. So what's next? What else do you have?
So another thing to talk about, did you get to the verbal threshold yet?
No,
that's always a big topic of conversation.
Is that called lawsuit threshold?
Lawsuit threshold.
Okay, so mine says you have two options. I want the limitation on lawsuit, and I want no limitation on lawsuit option.
Right, so that option has several different names. It could be called the verbal threshold. Some policies may be called the verbal threshold.
Okay.
Some policies will say lawsuit threshold. Some policies will call it the limitation on lawsuit, limited right to sue. All of those things are all words for the same idea. What you have in New Jersey, this is what I talked about, there's been a lot of legislation over the years since approximately, we'll say since approximately 1990-ish, the late 80s, 90, where these thresholds started to come into play. New Jersey, like other states, decided there are way too many of these little fuzzy sort of claims, so we want to do away with those. What we want to do is really boil it down to people having really serious injuries. So they started coming up with all these different notions on how to limit lawsuits. So that's the idea, we're trying to limit lawsuits. And now, just by way of history, at one point it was a dollar threshold. That meant you had to have at least a certain amount of medical bills before you're allowed to bring a lawsuit.
Okay.
So it doesn't take a lot to figure out that wasn't a hard thing to get around. So at one point, the threshold was $1,200. You had to have $1,200 of medical expenses, and then you could bring a lawsuit. Well, $1,200, one trip to the emergency room, we all know you're going to go through that pretty quickly. So that probably wasn't the right thing. So that's how we started getting to what is called this verbal threshold, because the dollar threshold wasn't working. Verbal threshold had to be a defined term. So what does that mean today? That means if you select the verbal threshold, we'll call it the verbal threshold, but that's a limited right to sue. You can only bring a lawsuit if you fall presently within one of six categories. Used to be nine, but today it's six. There's only six categories. And those categories are death, dismemberment, loss of an organ or fetus, significant scarring or disfigurement, a displaced fracture. It's very important that it's a displaced fracture, or a permanent injury, which is defined as a body part or organ that will not return to its normal function and use without additional medical treatment.
Wow.
Okay. So this is a very defined term. As you see, it's verbal. There are a lot of words to decide these things.
Right.
So death is easy. Death, dismemberment, loss of an organ, loss of a fetus, those things are pretty simple. Significant scarring or disfigurement. Okay, so there's scar cases where you have to show that that scar is going to be, is that a significant scar? Is it a significant scar? Is it really disfiguring? So if I'm in a car accident and I get a scar, you know, I get a scar on my arm, is that going to be significant scarring or disfigurement? I don't know. Is someone going to think that I'm disfigured because I have a scar on my arm? Those are the kind of things that you would have to discuss in one of these cases. Of course, if you have a scar on your face that's very apparent,
right,
probably not going to be so much of an issue.
So in this case, then, if I say I want the limitation on lawsuit options, you've got to clear that hurdle, whatever it is.
You have to clear that threshold. Perfect.
And where you say I want no limitation, you're going to pay a little more. And it's a zero limitation.
But you can bring a lawsuit no matter what. No matter what happens to you, you can bring a lawsuit. And it's going to be up to you to show that you're damaged, you're injured, but you don't have any of these issues of trying to prove your injury. A lot of the cases that we see that become really litigated is the sixth category of permanent injury. So folks try, you know, we'll say, like, my neck, I hurt my back, these things happen, and then we have to determine whether or not that treatment or that injury is a permanent injury. Sometimes people are hurt and you eventually get better. So there's really...
So what happened to the term no fault? I don't hear that anymore.
Okay, so no fault, those are good questions. So that actually goes back to the PIP notion, the personal injury protection benefit. The no fault goes to the term, or it talks about who and when are the medical bills going to be paid. And I get on this a lot of times. So when folks come to me, if they're in a car accident, and they say, you know, I have to go to the doctor, went to the emergency room, and the first question I'll ask them is, did you give them your auto policy information?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, why should I? Like, because they're going to pay your medical bills. Why? I didn't cause my accident. I was rear-ended, so I had no fault at all. I'm sitting in a red light, Camaro.
Right.
So, but it's no fault. You go to your own policy for your auto, for your coverage, for medical benefit.
That's not the idea. I thought it was us. Nobody's fault. Your company's going to pay you. It's a different way of saying the same thing, but it's not the same thing.
Correct. But they're only paying you for your medical bills. And the notion behind that is that because I'm in a car accident, I need medical treatment, there should be no reason I should be running around in the world trying to figure out what the other person's insurance was that hit me.
Mm-hmm.
Because what if they didn't have insurance? What if they were hit and run, something like that, and I don't know what their insurance is. They didn't want to give it to me. Who knows what happens? But I need to go to the doctor right now. I'm hurt.
Yeah.
So no fault. I go right to my carrier. You know that Joe and Marilyn are insured by NJM or State Farm. You go right to them. You have a policy. NJM will cover you. State Farm will cover you if they're your insurance company. You don't have to look around to figure out who the insurance company is for the person that hit you. Now, again, you have to pay copay deductible. It's going to be about $1,200.
So the million-dollar question, because I remember when I did have my accident, I needed to see a chiropractor, and they don't want to talk to you. Even the chiropractor or the doctor you've been going to all your life is going to say, I don't take insurance cases. If this is an insurance case, I'm sorry, I can't handle you. How do you get around that? I mean, it seems so cold to me.
Right. So the reason why it's like that, I understand that it sounds cold, and especially, Doc, I have a relationship with you. What are you doing to me? Because in order to get paid under this policy, so everything sounded so great, right? Like, I'm hurt, go to my policy, no fault, they're supposed to cover me, all good. But in order for them, the medical provider, to put their bills in and get paid, because as much as I like you, Joe, they want to get paid, right?
Right.
I mean, yeah. So they have to there's a series of codes that are specified in our New Jersey legislation. It's right in our statutes. They're called CPT codes, and then there's codes for insurance companies to use and for medical providers to use to cover anything, you can't believe it, like how detailed it mm-hmm. is. And those codes have to be on the bill in order for it to get wow. paid by the insurance company. So if a doctor says, a chiropractor, a medical provider, whoever it is, I don't take insurance, it's because they don't have that those codes probably in their bill. And they have decided that it isn't worth it to them to put the codes, that coding system into their medical billing.
Right.
They have medical billing that they use, you know, in other circumstances, but they've decided, you know what, I don't want this legislative coding.
And it was more than not in this case. There were three or four doctors. I got the same answer from all four right. of them, and I felt like, well, where do I go? And
right.
that, so it doesn't matter whether you've done all the right options. If it's an insurance case, most doctors don't want to handle it, and then we have the ones that do specialize in, but you don't know that doctor from squat, so it's kind of hard to start going there.
Right.
But so it wasn't just me. That's pretty natural.
That is, and it happens. I mean, more doctors than you'd be surprised. There are doctors out there. A lot of doctors. I mean, doctors around here will, you know, that I know that will take that do accept auto insurance. But it okay. really has to do with the insurance coding because they don't want to put that in their billing practices.
Well, great. So this has been Joe Peters sitting here talking to Michelle Cresti, and her phone number is 908-713-9008. We've got 2 or 3 minutes left. What didn't we cover?
On the auto, I think just about, you know, a lot of the things that are covered. You know, these questions that you have had are very normal, like I said, and like very standard. I hear this a lot from my friends and relatives, and just like you said, Joe, a lot of times I'll get these calls that someone will say, gee, you know, every year I just sign the form and I send it back and right. just say re-up whatever I had, and then every once in a while, you know, somebody looks at it and says, but I don't even know what I have.
Right.
I'm just not sure. Like, what does this mean?
I'm clicking off what I had checked last year. Then they change the form and I'm lost.
Correct. So, and that's when I usually will get the call in the office, like, hey, do you mind going through this? And, you know, I don't mind at all because this is something that I look at daily.
Right.
You know, this is something that I look at in my cases. It's something I've looked at for years just in my work. So I'm happy to explain these things because, like we talked about, you're a smart man, you're a professional, but some of these things are not intuitive. Or they're
right.
not intuitive until you start thinking about it in that insurance way.
Right.
So, like, no fault, what does that mean? So does no fault have to do with, you know,
and I know
pain
and
suffering?
One of the other things that happened recently, Marilyn, totally offended that she's coming down in front of the Immaculate Conception and the cop was in the bushes, and she mm-hmm. was doing more than 15 over.
Mm-hmm.
And she's haven't had a ticket in 20 years, okay? Got the went in front of the judge. The judge said, just pay it off your insurance in 6 months. Well, we talked to the insurance people. Said, no, you're going to carry that for 3 years. You're going to pay a premium for 3 years. And if you ever have a second offense, then the two get coupled together and it gets worse yet. So we went back to the judge and said, no, we're going to pay the $400, which gives you the no point ticket.
Right.
The judge says, you don't have to do that. Well, I'm not going to sit here and argue with the judge. I realize that's probably a losing argument. And we said, that's what our decision is. And he says, then I'll pass it. That's your decision, but I think you're throwing money away. And you really got to know your insurance options. Because even with State Farm, I found that I had an accident or a ticket, moving violation.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had another one within 2 years. And my insurance went up. And I said, wait, I've only had one ticket in the last 2 or 3 years, but it coupled to one that I had just outside of that. And because the two came together, it fell under a law that it went up substantially, 22% or something.
It goes up a lot. So there's something, some of the policies that you'll see, I think it's, you know, I forget now which one, like, there's so many commercials, but they have like accident forgiveness.
Oh,
you know, some policies, if you talk to the brokers or the agents, they'll tell you, oh, you get one free accident or you get one free ticket. You know, they'll say, you know, look, it's New Jersey, there's a lot of cars, a lot of rules, you know, it's not unusual even if you're a good driver to have 2 points, to get a 2-point ticket, you know, a small speeding ticket, a small, you know, some other kind of ticket. So some policies say you get 2 free points. So that could be, maybe your policy was one of those and said, okay, so we'll forgive one, but now when you got two, all of a sudden then you see a big jump. But there's some mechanisms to get rid of those 2 points without even paying the $400. Like, I'm familiar with that ticket that allows you to negotiate your plea. There's That's a topic for another day, right? Like right. Municipal court and all of that. That's days and days of conversation. But you know, there's a mechanism where every so many years you can do an online driving course.
Right.
You pay a fee. You can do it online. You present proof of completion to your insurance company, and they may forgive those 2 points.
Yep.
Or that 2 points may come off of your...
I know with State Farm that I have, they give me 5% off. And that was part of what went up, was that my 3 years, after 3 years, you have to take the course again. I said, I didn't forget anything. Yeah, that's the way it works. You got to take the course again. So
yeah.
I felt taking that, it's like 12 hours or something online. And for the few dollars that I get back, which was like 5%, it's not a lot of money. I didn't take it. But you're right. And they're helpful. They're always helpful. But... they're in a business to keep you insured, but not necessarily work for you. And you have to know what your options are. I think they went a long way towards understanding them a lot better. I appreciate you coming on. So we are at the point where I have to play my commercial and get out of here. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Michelle Cresti at Macy & Cresti at 908-713-9008. And I'm going to play my commercial, tell you how to find me.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
All you need in this case is the Constitution and your common sense.
White House counsel Pat Cipollone, and with that, President Trump's defense team has wrapped up their case. Senators will begin asking questions on Wednesday in the impeachment trial of the president. At the White House, President Trump is unveiling his Mideast peace plan, where the president says it's a win-win opportunity for both Israel and Palestinians.
A realistic two-state solution that resolves the risk of Palestinian statehood to Israel's security.
There are conflicting reports that Fotis Doulos is dead. He was found unresponsive behind his home earlier this afternoon. While numerous sources are saying he committed suicide, his lawyers say he was rushed to the hospital with a weak pulse. Doulos was charged with capital murder in the disappearance of his wife. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance, and it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
A warning is out regarding two old satellites colliding over the United States. With the details, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
There's a small chance two satellites could collide tomorrow evening over Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. According to space debris tracker LEO Labs, a decommissioned space telescope launched in 1983 will come very close to a smaller satellite launched in 1967.
President Trump holding one of his Keep America Great Again rallies, this one being held on the Jersey Shore Tuesday. The president will be campaigning for Democrat-turned-Republican Jeff Van Drew.
Without even blinking an eye, he said, I will be there. He's a man of his word. He is coming. We're going together, and it is going to be a great day for South Jersey, and it's going to be a great day for the United States of America. This is really exciting.
Van Drew speaking there on Fox News. Folks are already lining up to see President Trump. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a